live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Total Celebrity Show. I am just absolutely excited as can be tonight. What an unbelievable live event I'm doing tonight, and excited to be live, something that's different, especially when I've pulled off an unbelievable event for two nights in Spain, and I booked such an unbelievable lineup that I just said, you know what? And then we had some connection issues, and I said, we got to continue this. And so, again, go to my website, TotalTutor.net, for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor. Neil S. Haley, Facebook. LinkedIn, Neil Haley. Instagram, Total Tutor. But what is so unbelievable about tonight is just the guests, the lineup, all the different things. I mean, I'm just so enthused and so excited to welcome to the program Academy Award winning from 20 feet from stardom, Charlotte Crossley, a.k.a. Charlo. Charlotte, thanks for calling.
Thanks so much for having me, and hello to all those sad people out there in radio land. However way you're listening to us, it's fantastic to be here tonight. I'm here in Los Angeles.
Absolutely, and it's going to go out to syndication, and to get somebody who has an Oscar to be in an Oscar, it must be just so unbelievable. Your life must have completely changed from this documentary, well, hasn't it?
Well, it has in some ways. It's wonderful being a part of an Oscar-winning motion picture documentary. When Mork and Neville got us all together via my friend Rudy Calvo, who was an archivist and a girl group aficionado, and helped pull together an incredible group of people, myself, Dr. Mabel John, and there were so many singers that didn't make the cut, but for those of us who did, it's been an incredible thing to be a part of. And we told Dr. Mabel John, and myself both said to Morgan, you know, this is Oscar worthy. And I told him, I said, get ready to walk and get that statue. So when it happened, it was just transcendent. We're just so overwhelmed, really. But you know, it really sets the bar very high for achievement for the rest of your life.
Well, you've had a very interesting career, and that's what is definitely based on the film. So can you describe and tell us a little bit about the film for people who have not seen it yet, and especially with the Oscar, and everyone needs to see the documentary. So tell us a bit about
it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's 20 Feet from Stardom is a documentary motion picture that tells the story of background singers, basically like a 50-year span of 50 years of background singing, but overall entertainment and it just tells it focuses on five or six different artists: Mary Clayton, Darlene Love, Tata Vega, Claudia Lanier, and a young woman by the name of Judith Hill, and she's the kid in the group. But it just tells the story of how we all started singing and how we all specifically got involved in background singing and how our lives were just the beginnings of how we all started and how really Darlene Love and the Blossoms being on television on Shindig in the 60s when there were no black people on TV doing anything, black girl singers, black females, this iconic group were the thing that encouraged us to live our dreams and pursue. And it just kind of just chronicles the struggles, the highs and the lows, the being out there, being on TV, playing with major artists, making money, being forgotten, being left out, and being 20 feet away from the star. Some people aspired to be in that place, but for the rest, for some of us who didn't, like myself in particular, I was just happy to work. I'm very blessed to be able to work, and being in the background was very hard work because you had to cover for the star. So it covers all of that, and then it talks about Judith Hill and her coming up being on The Voice, and her just what she's been going through just coming out of the background. You know, she was a background singer for Michael Jackson, and then Michael passed, and then, you know, it's like you think your career is going to take this trajectory, and then it's just pulled out from under you. And so there's a lot of those stories that are told. And Mary Clayton talks about her time with the Rolling Stones, and Claudia Lanier talks about her time with the Rolling Stones. And so we're just kind of cross-pollinating music genres and artists, but there's a commonality of what we all endured. But because having the soul of an artist, you know, some people were nurtured, some weren't, but we were just all out there in it. You know, it covers so much. It's very emotional. Every time I see it, I cry. I've seen it about 8 or 9 times now, and I cry at someplace different. It touches another place in me.
Well, absolutely, Charlotte. And I wanted to kind of go into this because, again, what this story, the documentary is telling, is a lot of people who, you know, have the talent yet are behind the scenes. There are so many people out there that are artists that are performing for the greatest stars in the world, yet no one knows who they are. They're not making the fame and fortune that other star is, but they're the ones that help that star become who they are. And in so many ways.
Oh, absolutely. And they're the ones that undergird the music. And there's a line that there's a statement that one of my friends in the movie, David Lashley, says about how many times the background part was constructed in such a way that that's the hook, that's what you remember about the song. In fact, most people are going to sing the background part before they'll sing the lead. And it's just the way songs, the way music was being made back then, 40 years ago, 50 years ago. And just, there's just so many, it chronicles how records were made and how music was made and how music was being marketed and how particularly black singers were. You know, we just basically, a lot of us went where the work was. But being excellent always and being really, being good at what we did, not phoning it in, but being on the money, on, you know, whatever you heard on the record, we would reproduce it live. And that's an art now because, you know, and the way we recorded music, you know, there was no flying your vocal in. There was no comping. It was like we sang it down from the top. We doubled, tripled, sometimes quadrupled, sweetening, and we sang it down from the top. And, you know, it was on tape, and it wasn't so much digital. It, you know, just the way we recorded, how we recorded, and how that music now is being preserved, not only, in all these different mediums, but just how it's being preserved as a live, when someone sings it live. It's about being true to the music, and I think that truth is something that these kids coming up, they need to see and experience that, and it needs to galvanize them to strive for being authentic.
Well, think about this, Charlotte, when we talk about Academy Award winning films, how many people are behind the scenes that help win that, and they maybe don't even get the opportunity to pose with the Oscar, and that they have done something small in this way. And I think this goes back to artists. I mean, think of the people in Hollywood that act, and how many of them don't even make a living. It's just because they're passionate about acting. This is the...
Well, you know, you used to be able to make a really good living being a dress extra, doing extra work, doing background work. I did some of that work for a while, and you know, when the landscape of how business is done changes, how movies are being made changes, when that landscape shifts, then the people that they hire for however long, for whatever scene, all that changes. And so, you know, there are a lot of people, like when you look at old movies, when I look at old movies on Turner Classic, I always watch the background people. I go, there's these dress extras, and if it's a Fox movie, and if it's a Metro movie, or if it's a Columbia movie, everybody had their people. You know, and you look at these people who are in behind the scenes, and they get to work for a week. You know, maybe they work for 4 or 5 days, and now it's not even that much for some movies. I say that to say that it's just the way business is done and how movies are made, or how. And so you've got all these people that you know, who made a living, you know, being a background day players, you know, or being, you know, a background singer. Yeah. When I moved to California in the late 70s, I was in the studio a lot, and that's how I made my living. That was my bread and butter. Instead of going and getting a waitressing job, I was doing background vocals.
Yes.
That's what kept me alive, you know, between going back out on the road with different artists. But that's what sustained me. And there's a handful of us. There's a bunch of us out here and in New York who we were fortunate enough to have that kind of career. And 20 Feet from Stardom just scratched the surface.
Yes.
of our story, really. There's a lot that ended up on the cutting room floor.
Well, I mean, thinking about just the story in general, and we've talked, and I guess it's really about this Oscar winning.
Yeah.
Documentaries about the people behind the scenes, the people that just don't.
Yes.
Get the credit and struggle all their time. Just think of even the ones that are like, I kind of equate it to, I was a former professional wrestler and I wrestled the minor leagues where I wrestled in front of 100 people,
right.
50 people.
Right.
Yeah, but still, and still we are part of the business. Yet,
absolutely.
We might have the same amount of talent as the people on top, but guess what? It's just who you know, it's the right time and right place. And when you're talking about your time, Charlotte, a lot of times discrimination had something to do with it down the line. Sometimes certain situations.
Yeah.
Kept you right from that right spot and the opportunity.
Well, honestly, I really didn't want the bright spot that way. After watching several people become huge, it was not an overnight success by any means, but watching other artists I work with become absolute mega stars, this was something that they wanted. But at the core of that was there was an artistry. There was a desire to make good music.
Yes.
To really and to not only make good records but to bring great performances and you know, very, you know, when I look back on it, a lot of us are very old school in the movie. You know, we all come up, you know, we're all boomers, baby boomers. So we come up, you know, we all came up, you know, during the golden age of television. We came up listening to our parents' 78s and their 45s and, you know, listening to records, you know, listening to records and pressing our ear to the speaker where we didn't have headphones. So there's a culture of artistry. There's a culture of excellence. There's a culture of legitimate showbiz that these kids aren't. It's not the same for this generation now. And 20 Feet from Stardom captivates that. It pulls on that. But also, it talks about the hardship.
Yes.
That this business, you know, you can be riding high on one day. It's like Darlene Love talks about how she walked away from being in the studio with Phil Spector. Now, there were a lot of other issues going on there with him, but she walked away from it. And she was cleaning houses one Christmas for a lady in Beverly Hills, and she heard her song, her voice, her song on the radio. And she said, "What am I doing cleaning these houses? I need to be back doing what I'm called to do." So it's about a calling. It's a,
yes.
It's like, it's about, you know, having a gift.
Exactly.
And Dr. John talks about this, and Dr. Mabelson talks about this in the movie. She says we have a gift and a passion to get out and use that gift to edify people, to build people up, not to tear people down, but to make people feel good and help them along in this life.
Absolutely.
So,
yes.
You know, it's like it's very important. So I'm happy that Darlene Love came back and got back in the biz, because she's like, you know, she's been like an incredible inspiration to all of us. I know, to me, from a young girl watching, seeing her on TV, going, "That's what I want to do," and keeping that a secret from
exactly.
my family.
It's,
you know, and there's so many of us, you know, when I came out to Hollywood and got around other singers and other people who've been in the business, who come from entertainment families where they're being nurtured and encouraged, that was unusual to me. I didn't even know what that looked like. But these kids had a confidence, and they didn't fret or worry or have the things that none of the dynamics that I was dealing with. My father didn't want me to be in the business, I, you know, and so I was... I was alone. I went for it right out of high school by myself.
Oh, my.
But, you know, I had a few friends and a few people who encouraged me. But coming from, you know, I can mention some names of some people who I came up with out here. But they, coming from a showbiz family, it's just so different from just being, like, you know, you wanted to wrestle. It's like whatever your journey was to get there, you got there because it drove you. That was your passion.
Exactly.
That's something that you love.
And this is what I love now is radio, and I can't believe we're coming up close to a break. So where can we find information
wow.
on you, Charlotte? It goes fast, but trust me, you're coming back next month. I love your publicist.
Thank you.
And we could talk more about different things. You have some projects coming up
Absolutely.
As well. And I'm going to have
well,
the whole
Google
crew.
Me.
Yeah, so where can we...
Yeah, please Google me at Charlotte Crossley, and you can IMDB me at Charlotte Crossley. And please visit me on Facebook. I'm under Charlo Crossley 48, F-O-R-T-I-E-R. That's my married name.
All right. Well, fantastic. It was fantastic talking to you. Best of
and
luck and everything. And you take care, all right?
Thank you.
All right.
All
okay.
the best to you, and I look forward.
All right. Take care now.
Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. You're listening to the Total Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Celebrity Show on the Total Radio Network. Again, go to my website, TotalTutor.net, for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley. Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley. Instagram, Total Tutor. And Pinterest, Neil Haley. And I'm just so excited about the continued guests for tonight's show. And I want to welcome the program, The Last Supreme, Suze Green from 20 Feet from Stardom, Academy Award winner. How are you, Suze?
Well, I'm just over the moon.
I think
it's so delightful to be here with you.
I think you should definitely be over the moon because of what happened to you and the amazing situation. So go ahead and describe this experience, especially with 20 Feet from Stardom.
The thing about 20 Feet was it was such a surprise. You know, Gil Friesen, who actually had the idea in the beginning for the film, knew that it would be a tremendous kind of a subject. You know, people hadn't explored it. And when they called me, I was doubtful. You know, I didn't know how they were going to make a movie about background singers. So I kind of dragged my feet a little bit to see, you know, well, okay, and they called me back. But when I went and I had my interview, and I interviewed for quite a long time, you know, we had really in-depth type of conversations, and it developed into the direction, developed in a different way than a lot of the things that we were talking about. But there's such a commonality, you know, among these groups of singers who do this tremendous thing and have a talent that is unappreciated to a great extent.
Yes.
And has such an impact, has such a cultural impact. But the results are, you know, we have an Academy Award for the best documentary feature. So everybody's happy. It was really just a tremendous experience to be involved.
It definitely does. And were you surprised at all that this happened? I mean, you go and be part of this documentary and then just to be told, you know, that this is going to be an Academy Award winning film. It must
of course.
You always thought that would happen or not? No.
No, you know, you have no idea when you do something like a film how it's going to wind up. You know, but you hope for the best. But I mean, that's the most in Hollywood, and to a great extent as far as film goes, you know, it's the highest honor. But the thing is, because so many of us had such great stories of our lives and the experiences that all of the ladies went through, but knowing that, when I actually went to see the film in a theater for the first time, it just tore me up. You know, I cried just like everybody else. I said, why didn't I bring tissues with me? It's so touching and so poignant. But then to have the excitement of, well, it's going to be shortlisted for the Oscars, and then for it to be nominated, actually, and then to win, you're like, I don't know. It's an alternate universe. It's that kind of thing, that kind of shock to your system, something you never could imagine. And of course, it opened so many doors, and I've had so many wonderful opportunities to come my way since there. So I'm just very excited. You know, we've got this album as well, Sherry Payne and myself, called Partners, that is out that's been released through Universal Japan, and of course it's available on Amazon and a lot of places on the web. But, you know, to have an album that is the first time, it's the album that we recorded after the Supremes broke up, and it's called Partners, Sherry and Susay. And we produced the album along with Gene McDaniels. We did arrangements and wrote the songs and performed them, of course. But it's the first time it's ever been on CD. So it's been remixed and remastered, and it's just a fantastic project. So for that to come out and happen, you know, for the first time, an album that really made a statement for women in the industry. You know, two women together, strong vocalists, the last two members of the Supremes, and then to get to be at the helm of it as well. And, you know, it's just sort of thing happening, one thing after another, one great thing after yes. another. It's just unbelievable.
So you go from 20 feet from stardom to the album, so everything, and to be able to work again and have that project going. And let's talk a little bit about that last Supreme. That's an interesting thing, again, when you were chosen to be part of that. And I guess that's something that'll always be there for you, right? That you were the
absolutely. Yeah. They say once a Supreme, always a Supreme. So, you know, it's the kind of thing all of us sang to those records and were amazed by the talent that came out of Detroit. But to have watched it as a teenager and, you know, to have been on the sidelines, of course, I had my own career even that young. So to find them, you know, famous, to watch them become famous and see their careers grow and then one day actually become the last member of the Supremes signed to Motown. Well, it's just quite an honor. You know, there were only a certain number of women in the world who were ever chosen to be in that group. So from the standpoint of that alone, you know, it's a tremendous honor. And then to be in such wonderful company, all of the ladies are greatly talented and just have that, you know, that show business gleam. You know, it's just a tremendous thing, especially because our fans are so great. And we've seen fans grow up and seen them come along with us, seen them all over the world and online. You know, they write us on Facebook. I get letters from people everywhere. And then, you know, it just warms you to think that the songs that you sang at one time actually made an impact in people's lives, you know, were a part of people's wonderful adventures and tendernesses in their lives. It's a great, great thing. It's very satisfying.
It seems so satisfying, and I see you so excited about all these different things and your career and everything. Is there anything that you regret in your career that you say?
Oh, my goodness. I have no regrets. I'm not that type of person. I'm a person who's so positive. You know, I believe that the things that you put into your mind, it's a choice. You wake up, and that's blessing enough every day. You wake up, and then it's all just fresh. You can start. It's like reboot, you know. You just start all over. You always have that opportunity to go on and try something and accomplish something and dream, you know, to actually fulfill your dreams. You get that opportunity every day. So how could I regret? I don't regret not one second of my life. I've had the best life.
you
have no idea.
Now, Susay, do you have any other projects coming up right now? You talked about you're performing a lot of places, right?
Yes, indeed. We're getting ready to do a show in Los Angeles. That will be the first time that Sherry and I have performed together here in all of these years. And it's called Supreme Partners Live. We're celebrating rocking this album. We're going to perform these fantastic songs along with some of the songs we sang together in the Supremes and things we've written. And we've got new projects coming out. But this show, Sherry and Susay, will be a one-time only in Los Angeles show. And, of course, it is on it's in July, on the 5th of July, so it's that July 4th weekend, the 5th of July at the Sheraton Gateway in Los Angeles out at the airport, and it's just a terrific bit of fun. You know, people have written us all over now from all over the world, and a lot of them say that they're coming, and we're just really looking forward to that sort of a reunion vibe. But there's a phone number for people who want tickets, and if they want tickets directly, they can call 213-494-1291. And a member of our team, of Team Sherry Soussay and partners, will take your information and send those tickets out directly. So we're really looking forward to it. You know, we're being invited to a lot of places. People are starting to ask us all around the country to come and do this show, and we're very excited about it.
And through 20 Feet from Stardom, and you're supreme already, but what a way to promote this, right? You have that as another part where people are like, they want to see you. And the film,
yes,
for sure, the documentary, how much has that changed your life anymore? What would you say? Is it more that people are recognizing you that are not your...
I think because, you know, when you've been in show business a long time and you have your challenges and your goals that you're reaching for, to have something like this fall into your lap, this kind of success you can't plan for, you know? And it means that people remember because the movie has had such a tremendous impact on people. Of all, you know, of all kinds and all walks of life. It's not just about background singers. If you think about it, in every situation, every job situation in life, there are the background singers,
yes,
that are the foundation, that are holding the fort, you know. So I think that's why it's touched people so much. And it's touched my life in many, many ways. I mean, I did a TV show last year that, with fingers crossed, they're going to announce soon if it's when it may start, but it's called Basketball Wife, and I'm looking forward to doing more acting. You know, I'm getting offers that way and have a film agent and booking agent and PR people, and we've been working with the stylists, makeup and hair. It's a very elaborate process to bring the kind of glorious entertainment that we are bringing. You know, it's just great fun. Well, it just revitalizes your spirit and lifts your spirit, you know?
Suzy, I'm just amazed by you. I mean, when I asked you regret, I thought maybe you'd bring up something, but your positive attitude is fantastic. And now finally getting rewarded for a great career being part of 20 Feet from Stardom. And I think when I was talking to Charlo about it, she kind of gave me one of the very interesting points of this whole thing, is that finally people are being recognized that are in the background. They're not the ones that are the stars. They're not the ones that they were the ones that people have forgotten or didn't even know who were, but made the stars the stars. And I'm so glad that it's being highlighted, because every great piece of art, anything, and I call art any of the entertainment, there are people in the background that are not recognized. They're people that just, you know, people forget. And this film, and I can't wait to see it now. I'm telling you, after talking to you two, and I have a good friend of mine, a publicist out in L.A., when I told her she represents some really interesting athletes, I said, oh, by the way, guess who I'm having my live event, really, who? And she's like, oh, my gosh, I am such a huge fan of this film. So you really have touched a lot of people. You've really touched a lot of people's lives, for sure. So, Suzy, where can we find information on you, I guess, purchase some of your music and learn more about you? Where is the best place to go?
Well, if you can spell my name, which is SUSAYEGREENE, then you can find my Amazon page, Amazon.com. I have my own Amazon page and store at Amazon.com. I'm on Facebook most days. I have my own Twitter. That's Soussay, at Soussay. I'm on everywhere. You know, you can Google me and find me.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you're coming back again. I love your publicist, Suze, and I'm going to be interviewing every one of the people that she represents. So we're going to be talking about 20 Feet from Stardom for a long time to come and promoting projects that you guys truly need that opportunity to get that platform. And through this Oscar, it's doing it. And I tell you, you're going to be so busy, I could tell, and so many opportunities. So thanks again for calling, and best of luck to you.
Well, it's been my pleasure, and thanks for having me.
All right, take care, Suze. Okay?
All right, all the best.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. You listen to the Total Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back live, the Total Celebrity Show on the Total Radio Network. You can go to my website, TotalTutor.net, for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, Total Tutor. And I'm so excited to welcome the program. And I mean, I'm just blown away anytime to have an awesome celebrity like this, from Married to Medicine, Toya Harris. Toya, how are you? Thanks for calling.
Hey, how are you this evening?
I'm fabulous, thank you. I want to thank you for staying up with me. I mean, that's phenomenal right there that you're going to stay up with me tonight to talk, only for a short period of time, but I wanted to really learn more about you and everything. So tell me, first of all, how do you like being on the show Married to Medicine? I interviewed Mariah, and Mariah told me the whole season one and all the craziness that was expected, but and I'm sure it's not changed, but how do you like being on Married to Medicine?
I mean, you know what? Being on Married to Medicine is, I'm assuming, like any other reality show. You're going to have really good days, and you're going to have really bad days, but you're going to have a lot of fun, and you're going to hope that you're going to have a lot of resolve in any issues. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's been awesome. I hate that on the show they make it seem like I just shop, because there's so much more to me. But, you know, I mean, my days are filled with things like literally trying to make a difference in the community and in my children's life and in my husband's life. I mean, he's in the field of medicine, so honestly, I'm all about it. And it's just really, it's very difficult, you know, managing our household, but they haven't shown that as much as I would love, so.
Yeah, it must be. And how about your life changing in certain ways from Married to Medicine once the show aired, and how did it change for you, I guess, being recognized everywhere and all those types of things?
You know what? It's funny, because in the beginning, they kept telling me, they were like, your life is about to change. I mean, they must have told me that like every day. And I was like, yeah, right, whatever. And honestly, it wasn't a huge deal, because on the show, I have on like all this makeup, and I'm like in full-blown character. I look like Toya Bush Harris. But outside of the show, I'm in sweat, and my hair is in a ponytail, and people don't even know who I am. So they're like, okay, are you Toya? And it's hilarious to me. I mean, it's not until, like, recently where people are, like, just walking up to me in the grocery store, and they're taking pictures of me as I'm grabbing cereal off the shelf. So it's been amazing lately.
Well, it seems like it, most definitely, for sure. And I guess the whole process of reality television and you know, dealing with certain specific things and stuff like that, I think that it makes it difficult in so many ways, because it's great to you know, have that platform, but yet there's a lot of challenges as well being on a reality show, isn't there?
I mean, there's a lot of challenges. I mean, because you want them to see your whole life, and you want people to get to know you. But really, they see about 20 minutes of you on a Sunday evening, and then they assume that they know who you are. They know the character. They know the person. But really, they don't. Because they don't see me putting my kids to bed every night, saying prayers with them, brushing their teeth, you know, instilling good values into their life. They don't see any of that. I mean, it's so funny, because today I was just thinking, like, my son, you know, he was wanting to quit his sport because he felt like, you know, it was getting the best of him. And a part of me wanted to say, you know what, forget about it, because he's crying. But the other part of me wanted to lift him up. and say, you know what? No, we're not going to give up. We're gonna win. And it's amazing how that those type of things are not always captured, because there's not a camera with us 24 hours a day, every day of our life. You know, but the days that they are in our life, it's like you're hoping that they get those glimpses of, you know, the old Cosby Show.
Yes.
At least that's what I'm hoping for.
You're hoping for, and I don't know about the producers hoping for that, but I think you're definitely hoping for that.
Okay.
Because they always want, you know, well, you always want some sort of challenges in certain aspects. But
I mean, I feel like the Cosby Show has some drama.
I wish the TV was like the Cosby Show now, honestly.
Yeah,
don't you?
I mean,
and people say, well, that's not real life. The Cosby Show wasn't real life. No. At times, we always had family life like the Cosby Show.
Yes. I mean, you have a little bit of everything, but you know, you want the majority of your life to be like that. And I can't say that my life was always like that. It wasn't. We weren't a Cosby Show family, but we damn sure worked toward it. We tried very hard to be, you know, the epitome of a good, loving, and caring family. So,
absolutely,
you want that. And,
cool. All right. So let's now, again, when we talk about Married to Medicine, so have you worked in the medical field yourself?
Oh, definitely. When my husband and I met, I was actually a pharmaceutical representative, and he was in his residency in Michigan. And I had been a pharmaceutical representative for about 7 years, and I worked for like three of the largest companies in the industry, like Pfizer, Novartis, and Procter & Gamble. And really, I mean, it's just been a part of my life. I've always been, you know, in the sales industry, and you know, you're continually, you know, fueling yourself in the within the education, you know, with medical education. Just, I mean, that was just our life for like 7 years. So honestly, you just can't drop it, you know. So I'm always reading up on biology, chemistry, whatever the case may be. I mean, because really, that's all I know besides being a wife and a mother is the medical industry.
Yes, it definitely is. And that's is that how you met your husband then, I guess? Through the medical industry?
No.
No, really?
No,
not at all. That's a surprise. You know how many people are out there that were in the medical field, and yet...
And they're looking for their husband?
Yes. No, I wouldn't say that. No, I'm not saying that, Toya. No, but, I mean, a lot of it just happens. The nurse marries the doctor, or, you know, or...
The doctor is already married, please believe, and that nurse is hoping that he gets a divorce. No way. Not at all. No. Honestly, my husband and I, we were at a charity event, and he came, and we were trying, and the charity event was it was a huge thing back in the, it just slipped my mind, but basically, you would go, and you'd have two minutes to talk to the person. And then all of a sudden, you had to, like, decide whether or not you wanted to date this individual.
It was speed dating,
yes. So we were at a speed dating charity event. And when I got there, I was so nervous. You know, a lot of the men were short. And I was just like, I'm not going to do it. And he came with a friend of mine who was a nurse. And we sat at a table, and we all speed date together. And we just, like, asked each other questions in 2 minutes, 2 seconds. And me and him hit it off. And from that point on, he wooed me. He really did. And we started dating and went from there. And 9 months later, we were engaged.
Oh, wow. So, but I'm glad to know that it was a situation where you're at speed dating. And then once you found out you were both in the medical field, did that say, was that?
Well, he lied to me. At first, he told me he was a nurse.
Oh, he said
he was a nurse. I said, what? Oh, okay. You know, I guess he thought it was going to matter to me whether or not he was a doctor, but not, you know, but honestly, it didn't matter to him at all, because I was actually fulfilling my master's degree in a master's degree program. And so he was helping me with my homework. It was crazy. Like, medical really, it was second to the things that we were doing as it relates to our dating process. I mean, we were really doing some very, it was very, I'll never forget it. It was just very sweet. He was very, very, he wooed me. That's the best word I can come up with. He definitely did.
Being a television star, Toya, a lot of people think what you do filming is pretty much what you do all the time, and which is not the case because we all know what Bravo does and how certain things are not ultimately what Toya. But how do you spend your days with your family when you're not filming?
With the family. Okay, well, a typical day in the Harris household starts with my sons waking me up at 8 a.m., and we have pancakes. So we have breakfast, and then we plan. Our day is already planned because Mommy is aggressive in planning our days. So we typically do a lot of going to the park and just family activities. Both my sons, I always plan homework assignments for them every day because I believe that they should just always be empowering their brain. And then by the evening, we're kind of settling down, so we're having dinner together and we're watching TV. Lately, it's been Frozen.
Oh, I know about Frozen. Oh, trust me, Toya. I have five kids. I have five kids, three girls, and oh my, here Frozen.
I have two boys, and they sing. They sing Frozen.
Oh, really? Oh,
yes, they do. It's amazing to me. And I mean, we plan, but it's hilarious. And then by the end of the evening, we're brushing teeth and we're saying the ABCs while we're brushing it twice, and then we're reading our book. I was reading one book, now I'm reading two because you're on two different levels. And every now and then, like tonight, my son asked me to tell him the story of superhero Ashton. And so that is Mommy's way of making up a story about her son and how brave he is. Yeah. So we did that tonight, and then they go to bed, and then I have Mommy time, and I'm on the phone working on the radio show with you.
Oh, well, and staying up with me, and really it's kind of funny, and I'm so glad you're up with me, and I've been up too much, and I tell you, this weekend will be time to relax. I feel like my shift, especially doing the whole Spain.
I have play dates planned tomorrow. I have new school orientation play dates on Saturday. I have a Mother's Day event that my husband planned for me on Sunday.
Oh.
So I hope you have something planned for your wife on Sunday.
Yes, I do. But I had this conversation on my parenting show. It's always about not mom but grandma, because that's her. She's from an Italian family, and it's all about them, not her. And it's I don't like that. And it's probably because all the Pittsburgh, everyone's so close knit, and they're all together, the in laws, and it's a different dichotomy for sure in all those ways. So when you're not spending time with the family or filming, I know you have some very, very interesting interests. Tell us a little about that.
You know what? I have a lot of interest. But currently, you know, I've been really looking into the field of voiceovers. I've also been trying to affiliate myself more with just, you know, doing more listening opportunities as it relates to the radio and doing appearances at events. Definitely interested in fashion and makeup and things of that nature, and hoping to do a lot more magazine spreads. So I've been doing a lot of just PR work as it relates to that. But, you know, really it's a lot more about also community involvement. I mean, my sons are both in school, and I try to be, you know, the best mom I can be, which means you have to know what's going on in your community. So I'm always, you know, trying to affiliate myself with, you know, just any groups that have to do with continuing education.
Yes.
And children and family life. Like tonight, and when I tell you, I was literally at an event recently that was all about uplifting women and, you know, and entrepreneurship. And it was just so wonderful because the turnout was amazing. But it was a ton of people there. And they were, like, so happy to see me, but I was so happy to see them because it was just a great turnout for women trying to empower themselves. So I just love being involved in things of that nature. So I'm always busy.
We're talking to Toya Harris from Married to Medicine, and now I guess we're going to throw some dirt out, because always when we talk about reality TV, I have to have some of these questions. So there's been some negative comments thrown out by Dr. Simone about that you're being dumb and just a housewife. How do you feel about that? After talking to you for this amount of time, I would say maybe I need to have a conversation with Dr. Simone, you know, because I was talking this, we had a couple guests from 20 Feet from Stardom on the show earlier today, just a couple minutes ago, and I brought up I was a professional wrestler. Just a little hint. So how do you feel about that?
You know, honestly, initially when it was going on, I kept pushing for her to give me an apology because, honestly, I just felt like she was attacking me for, no reason. It was very uncalled for and very unnecessary. And I just felt like because she's such an, she's looked at from many individuals with high esteem. They assume that most doctors are, educated and they're disciplined and they have a certain, they have a certain decorum that they're supposed to, hold themselves to. And they just, I don't know, it's like she went left. She wasn't being Dr. Simone that I knew.
Yes.
And so I was trying very hard to not go tit for tat with her. Because I knew myself that I was trying to stand for something different this season, and I really wanted people to see that, there's a part of me that, cannot be provoked by ignorance.
Yes.
And I think that she eventually got it and will get it, and she eventually, I believe, will apologize because, what she's doing is wrong. And so it doesn't make another woman feel good about them trying to, tear down their character. Because the reality is, Simone does have 13 years of education under her belt, being that she went to college, being that she went to residency, on top of that, being that she did undergrad. But I have 7 years under my belt, being that I did undergrad, and then I went to get my master's. So, we are both very educated individuals.
Absolutely.
And I think at the end of the day, the disrespect is just her deflecting from the reality or the truth.
Most definitely. All right. Can you give me some updates for the next couple of shows and any other developments? Are you allowed to tell us about that or we have to wait?
I can tell you that you will not be disappointed. I can tell you that with Married to Medicine, this season has brought about so much controversy, so many learning experiences as it relates to friendship, and just women growing and maturing and seeing. And if I have to say one thing about it, is we have been calling each other out on whenever somebody is being shady. And, we're making sure that people are standing by what they have said, what they have done, and they're going to do right by each other. And so that's what Married to Medicine is about. We're about growing together and doing better. We're not perfect. We all make mistakes, whether we're, in the medical industry or married to the medical industry.
Absolutely.
But, we're going to make it, we're going to do better. So, at the end of the day, you're going to have controversy, but you're going to have some resolve, and you're going to love it.
All right, well, fantastic. Where can we find information on you, Toya, and learn more about you so that our listeners can keep follow and definitely want to have you back on the show, especially, when the season's over, so you can kind of, tell us some more of the dirt. And I'm sure you have some other projects that are coming up soon that you want to tell me about. So we definitely are going to open up to have you back on. But where can we find info?
Definitely. Well, right now, honestly, I tweet on a regular basis. I'm definitely on Twitter and live tweeting during our episode on Sunday at 9 on Bravo. My Twitter is tweet underscore tweet Toya. And you can also reach me by my PR publicist, Gwen Thomas. And I have her phone number as well, 609-474-4877. But I also can be reached on whether Facebook, I'm on social media galore, Instagram, and it's just my name, Toya Bush Harris.
All right.
Look for me.
Well, Toya, thanks again for coming on the show. Enjoyed our conversation. Thanks for staying up with me.
Okay, no problem. Thank you for having me.
All right, take care. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Total Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Celebrity Show on the Total Radio Network. You can go to my website, TotalTutor.net, for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, Total Tutor, and Pinterest, Neil Haley. And I have been doing the World Marathon of Radio Interviews this week. And I love doing it because I love talking and learning about new people. So I'm excited to welcome from the Food Network, Season 3, Worst Cooks in America, Sean Bennett. Sean, thanks for calling, and I look forward to talking to you today about your book and other projects. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. How are you doing today, Neil?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic. Anytime I get to interview interesting people like yourself and learn about what you're doing, it's a lot of fun. And when you talk about worst cooks in America, I'm one of those worst cooks in America. So tell me specifically how you got hooked up with that gig and how it's kind of changed your career in some ways.
Well, sure. One of my great friends, Katina Sky, actually saw the casting, and they were essentially looking for people who had great personalities and did not know how to turn on their oven. And as a matter of fact, when I did turn on my oven, I came back and I smelled gas because the line was never fully connected. And then my doorman explained that I needed to actually ask them to do that 5 years previous. But since I was using my oven to store headshots, I never got around to it until that one infamous day of almost gassing myself to death. And that helped to qualify me for Worst Cooks in America with Ann Burrell and Bobby Flay.
And so it kind of got you started in the whole Food Network deal. And did you ever learn how to cook from that show?
You know, being a New Yorker, I'm very blessed to have many affordable restaurants down near me. So I did go to a party where George Foreman was. So occasionally I'll whip up my George Foreman grill, but I don't think any Michelin star restaurants are afraid I'm going to take over a chef position. So occasionally I George Foreman it, or I'll hit Whole Foods, or I'll hit a local bodega for my daily needs.
Well, I tell you, I think I could learn to cook, Sean, but I don't have time. I really don't have time. If I have an extra minute for myself, especially I see all your projects you're doing and how you're pretty much on the clock, just like I'm on the clock, but on the clock because we love what we do. It's not on the clock like, you know, doing something that's just like boring, but it's just, hey, it's hard to pull us away from things. Tell us about the book now, Being a Diva on a Dime. That's interesting.
Yeah, the name. Shuffling back and forth. But right now there's a website and it's a book named Being a Diva on a Dime. It may change as far as the title. But essentially, I'm a lazy person. You know, that's what it comes down to. I was too lazy to cook and I'm a little too lazy to work an 80-hour work week, but I do like nice things. So along the way, I found out there's lots of great deals. For instance, my apartment is called 80-20 Housing. 80% of the building is paying over $4,000 a month rent for their one bedroom. And I'm paying a little over $600 for that same apartment. And it's government subsidized, and there's so many different deals around us that a lot of people don't know, whether it's buying a house with, you know, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, or whether it's an artist program, or whether it's, you know, an income-restricted program, or whether it's a lottery to purchase a home or to rent a home. In New York, I mean, housing is the most ridiculous factor. So that's how it all began. And then I travel as a spokesperson, and, you know, I found out, you know, there were ways to get free hors d'oeuvres and free cocktails in a concierge lounge. So my book is all about exploring deals, but luxury deals, from your housing to travel, to actually having a Louis Vuitton purse, big ticket items. Whereas normally, most books, most deals are about the smaller items or taking too many coupons to a grocery store.
Oh, I tell you, Sean, you're cracking me up. I am that kind of person. And, you know, you see these reality shows where they're cheapskates. It just seems like you still want luxury, as you talked about with the apartment. So you're not those kind of people that are to the point where you literally will suffer through things just so that you can save a dime. You want to teach people that want to live a life of interesting things that you don't have to pay for everything that you see out there, it sounds like.
Exactly. You can have, you know, the lifestyle of your boss. Say you're the secretary, your boss is making $250 a year, you're making $25,000, but you're enjoying life. A lot of times you'll qualify for those same perks in order to get yourself a complimentary Louis Vuitton purse, an apartment for a fraction of the cost, upgrades to flying first class, a hotel deal. And I've discovered the way, just essentially because I wanted to be an artist, and I am an artist in New York. I've done film and theater And I wanted to keep that going without having to, you know, go somewhere 80 hours a week just to live well. And I found a better way, and I would like to share that with the world. So that's my mission. Right now, different literary agents and I are discussing where to bring it. It was almost a TV show. I actually was almost a part of Extreme Cheapskates for TLC, but I was too glamorous for them.
Sounds like you are, definitely.
It happens, you know. So, you know, now I did another thing for Restaurants Takeout with Food Network. So I'm sticking with my foodies.
Exactly. So it's quite interesting in so many aspects when you think about this, Sean, and you're like, okay, now I'm not good enough for Extreme Cheapskates. That kind of disgusts me in some ways, Sean. I don't think you'd be the kind of talking about an apartment. So let me give you an example. How do you come up with these ideas? Is it through research so that you can live this nice style and still be your dream, which is an actor and an artist in so many aspects?
Some of the book was based on research. You know, for instance, not to tell this guy, but I don't wear Louis Vuitton purses or gowns or anything when I go out. So for the ladies who may be interested in my book, I had to research that aspect of it. However, I've done spokesperson work for many Fortune 500 companies where they fly me all over the country, but they were a little cheap, especially after, you know, the recession of late. So I would be in a bad seat and coach, and I discovered that with status and different ways, you can get a free upgrade to first class, even if your company or yourself bought a $300 ticket, you can turn it into a $3,000 ticket. And then the same thing as far as, you know, your hotel accommodations are concerned. And also there's even ways to get discounts on, you know, plastic surgery, dental surgery. Things would come up. I needed a cap. I didn't want to spend $3,000 on, you know, getting one cap on my mouth done. So I found a way to get it done for $300. So every chapter actually has a few life-changing tips or just tips on how to have something that you once thought unattainable and now hopefully makes it attainable. And I really hope that soon the book will be out in the world and I'll be able to share this on a larger platform so people can actually not feel like they need to sacrifice or kill themselves to get the things they want.
Oh, I find this fascinating, and I wish I could ask questions, Sean, if you'll share anything about ways of saving money. Again, I have 5 kids of my own, okay, Sean, and basically we always are looking how we can take the whole family out to eat in a nice place. Do you have any recommendations for our listeners?
You wanted to travel or take them out for food, or what was your agenda?
Just take them out for food. That'd be the first question I'd ask you. Maybe I'd ask one more if I get another free question.
You know, a lot of times you can call and arrange, you know, with a restaurant. If you want to take the kids out, for instance, you know, the easy thing is, of course, all those sites that now pop up, like, you know, the Groupons and the Living Socials and the Restaurant Week. A great romantic idea. A lot of times people used to, before those other sites I just mentioned popped up, would wait for Spa Week or Restaurant Week in New York. So I don't know, but if you, your wife, girlfriend, whomever may be part of your household, just the two of you, a great idea. Most of the 4-star restaurants in New York have prefixed lunches. So at night, you're looking at $100, $200 for a tasting menu. But for lunch, a lot of times those same exact items are $35. And that's year-round. It has nothing to do with restaurant week. So that's a great tip as far as, you know, somebody having a nice upscale, because that tends to be more of, you know, my forte, lunch in a city that normally they wouldn't think they could afford at, say, Jean Georges or something, you know, comparable. As far as taking the kids and the family out, the best thing would be to, you know, search the local sites, you know, that we had mentioned, like the Groupons and Living Socials, etc. But if you wanted to ever sponsor a party, or you thought you could, you know, work at the venue, or say you're a DJ, or you can have the restaurant on your show, they may comp it. There's a lot of things you can do with bartering, schmoozing, and begging.
Wow.
And so whatever's not obvious, I say barter, schmooze, beg until you get a guess.
Is that on there, the bartering types of things? Because remember there was a show, and then I think they even had a TLC special at one point on bartering. Are you a fan of that as well? Like, especially when I have a service like my radio network, and also got services like tutoring or different things, or you do your own bartering, you don't go with a company and you barter things to get, see if that can work out in a way, especially in this economy, to get what you need and it won't cost you a lot.
Yeah, you can post it online. You can go to an online service that does it and arranges it for people. You know, and actually, here's a great food idea, too. This is something I recently discovered. It's called Eat With. And if you go to eatwith.com, I get nothing from them, just so you know. People in their homes are cooking, and they're charging around $25 or so a person. And they will share their own culture, their own cooking techniques. It's a great way to meet the other families in your neighborhood or in a metropolitan area outside of your local neighborhood, try different food, and a lot of times they'll even say that these people who are cooking out of their homes, one guy was a New York Times writer, food critic, and another gentleman is a Michelin star chef, but only part-time, so any other part of his time, he's now opening up his home to cook for strangers, more or less. So it's a great dining option. As far as bartering, I don't think really you even need a website. You just need some chutzpah, and maybe my book, when it's out, to help encourage you. I know how to cold call and to get what you want.
Exactly. I mean, and just think of the things that I can be able to do in certain ways. I have a terrestrial station that I could also barter certain things as well, Sean. So great ideas for sure. And I'm excited. And I can't wait to read your book because I'm not going to call myself a cheapskate, Sean, but I want to save money because, I mean, I have five kids to have to go to college. And again, I have to work.